As a man spins around in anger, as a liar lies, I prophesy to you, to your wine and to your hard liquor. So this people has come to pass from prophecy. Micah chapter 2, verse 11, our daily scripture for today, little children. And there it says, as a man spins around in anger, and this man who spins around it is like a liar when he says, I prophesy to you about wine and hard liquor, or to your wine, go to your wine, in other words, or go to your hard liquor, bad prophecy that is. And so this people has come to pass from prophecy is the conclusion there. He shall even be the prophet of this people. But that means in the other translation that I've got here from Bible Hub, it says, if a man of wind were to come, which is also how it's rendered in the New World Translation from 1984, a man walking by wind. But it says, this man, if he comes and says falsely, I will preach to you of wine and strong drink, he would be just a preacher for this people. That's from, I believe, what is it? Let's see. I think it's the King James. It's what they normally use there. No, it's the English study. Well, they've said what it is. It's the English Study Bible. Okay. They often use the King James in a lot of their content. But in this case, it was an interlinear with the Hebrew on the right-hand side and the English Study Bible on the left. How did I get to that? I have no idea. Well, I guess it's the PSB, the Parallel Study Bible. Yeah, that's it. PSB is the link on Bible Hub from which I got that. But anyway, it's like in this prophecy of Micah 2 and 11, it's like the people of Jehovah, his own people, have become so far from him that it would be appropriate to prophesy to them about telling them to drink alcohol, because they're so far away from Jehovah, they're not in any kind of state that they would receive anything good, or that they would receive, or that they would receive the truth, you know, or something, you know, different that would educate them, you know. Continuing, it definitely seems too good to be true in our article, Joseph and Owen, because we've been saying that all of these traditions from the mythologies of the Greeks and Romans and the Egyptians too, they all indicate that Joseph is this person, Osiris, because Osiris, remember, he fed the people with 7 loaves in the Egyptian mythology. Joseph fed the people because he stored up the grain. So he fits Osiris. And then we have him, he fits Poseidon, because Poseidon, he fits Poseidon in so many ways, because he rode a chariot like Poseidon, and he rode a chariot like Helios also. They all rode chariots, and that was something that we know Joseph did. When he was appointed to rule Egypt, he traveled around and he had to rule the people. And he had to go places and organize the grain storage for the 7 years upcoming of famine. Is it ever hot in here? I can't figure out why it's so warm. Let's see. Let me check the... It just doesn't seem right. I need to update and get an update on the weather here. It's cold out. What? There's no source of heat that could be making it warm. My heater would be running. But that, I mean, and it is running, but it's not explaining why it's so hot, because it's cold outside. What can I do to cool it down? I don't understand. Okay, let me just try turning the heater away from me a little bit. I think that'll help. That's going to be better. It definitely, see, there's so many factors. Like, how do we explain that the mythology, you know, is the way it is? Why are there so many different versions of Joseph and his family in the different mythologies? Well, of course, even in the Greek mythology, there's several different people who correspond to Joseph. There's, or to Jacob as well, but there's, let me see. Hyperion is the father of Helios, right? Oh, that's right. And Day, Hyperion is Day, and he marries the woman, Thea of many names, but also Night is the wife of Day, and Thea of many names is cow-eyed, like the moon compared to the sun, not as intense, right? Like when you look in a cow's eyes, the eyes of a cow are not as intense as those of a human. But this wife of Hyperion corresponds to the Egyptian wife of Geb, who was called Night. So Day marries Night, and they have a son called Helios, who is the sun. In other words, Day and Night together give birth to the rising sun. And it's quite an interesting illustration, is it not? And the day is complementary to the night, like the husband should be the complement, or vice versa, the wife the complement of the husband. They're complementary. A father and son, day is like the sun as well, like father, like son. So we talked about that. Who else was there in the Greek pantheon? I know there were many other people. Oh, there's Poseidon. Poseidon is the other one, who corresponds to Joseph, and his father is Cronus, and his wife is Rhea. I'm too hot. I don't understand. I want to keep the light going. That's the problem. So I'm way too hot. Oh, I just had a cup of tea. That's the reason, probably. But it wasn't that hot. It wasn't very hot. So Poseidon is the god, the son of Cronus, and Cronus was the husband of Rhea, and Rhea is this name that has the combined names of Rachel and Leah. Everything is exactly corresponding, but the real identification is not even just the father and mother, because we don't know as much about those people, but we know a lot about Poseidon, how he was the god of horses and the god of water, and, you know, he did all these things. He was also, I'm trying to think, who is it? Osiris is the god of agriculture, the god of agriculture. So Joseph fits that in storing up all the grain. All these things, that's Poseidon. But Osiris is Egyptian, so I got back into the Egyptian. I want to review this because it's very easy to get lost and confused in all of this. Who else were the Greeks? Poseidon. Oh, I know. Let's search for Poseidon and see what we find. Right? There we go. Well, Poseidon means Lord of Own. Of course, Poseidon means Lord of Own. Yeah, so that in itself is enough to prove that that's Joseph. Of course it wouldn't be, except Joseph built all that this massive water system, you know, for irrigating Egypt. That fits Poseidon also. The thing is, it's the fact that he corresponds in so many ways with the that is Joseph does with the different mythologies. That in itself would be telling, but then also his parents and his family also corresponded, as we saw. Everything about Joseph corresponds. There's Cronus, and the Scythians corresponds with Isaac, and the symbol of Cronus is the sickle. The sickle is so similar in sounding to the Scythians also. And sickles are associated with Scythians. And Isaac is the name from which the word Scythian comes. Isaac being the father of Jacob, who is the father of Joseph. And all of these things correlate so perfectly. And Father Sky, right, in the Greek is Uranos, and sky is that SC, or SK, right? The same two letters, or two sounds coming together consonantally there, which is a very rare combination of letters. It's never seen, except in Scandinavia, and we know they were from Scythians, that word, that they migrated from the south to go to Scandinavia, such as Woden, for example. And he was from the south, but he was known to have migrated, or believed to have migrated north. We have a lot of research, you could see, that we can do now, right? Because we know the Bible, we can do research without getting lost in the research, because our research will always come back to the Bible now. My goodness, yeah. We covered a lot of things. Joseph's brother Judah was the line of the Messiah, and he's the one that is said to be Zeus sometimes, or Jupiter in the mythology, but we never said that Joseph corresponded with those two, so there's no problem or contradiction, right? Everything fits so well. And Joseph was the eldest son of Jacob's second wife, right? Rachel, he was the eldest son of Rachel, and let me look up eldest. The eldest son of Geben and Knight is Osiris, too, so that fits. Okay, we haven't come to that. We're coming to that, I think, now. Or have we come to it? No. But it definitely seems too good to be true, all these things correlating with the time of Joseph. And just, it means that the Bible is, vindicated by this, as being the true story. It's been hidden. It's been covered up. That's what seems to be happening here. That's what seems to be what we've been discovering here, that the Bible's been hidden, and yet it couldn't be suppressed because there were different versions of the story of Joseph, and they got enshrined in the mythologies of the ancient Romans, Greeks, and Egyptians. So it definitely seems too good to be true, but Mr. Thurman, in his book, Our Bible Chronology Established, points out the scripture at Daniel 12 and 4, which reads, "Seal up the book until the time of the end." That's the quote from Daniel 12 and 4. Without pretending to understand what the end means, the implication is that there would be understanding at a future time, before which the, quote, sealing of the book, end quote, had been preventing it. With this in mind, it seems not too great an undertaking to attempt the great task, what has been impossible in the past, which may not be such a difficult thing today. Whether this means connecting history to mythology, which appears true, or bringing some emotional depth into the dry dates of an historical timeline, we bring these details into a purer state where a place is found for mythology at last, its shroud of obscurity lifted. Attaining the end becomes possible. With the words, the end, in quotations, knowing the beginning. I feel like we've been receiving this massive revelation from God in all of this, that there's no possible explanation for this if you've studied Greek mythology without knowing the Bible, which gives you no insight whatsoever about anything. At least nothing that stays with you. You hear about it, you learn about it, and then you promptly go off and forget all about it. Whereas when you have it tied to the Bible, it's just, it is beckoning for more research. And we have the illustration here of the creation of Adam by Michelangelo in the Sistine Chapel. Buonarroti, Michelangelo, Vatican City, where God with his fingertip is reaching out and touching the fingertip of Adam, but not quite touching in the painting. Rachel, as the wife of Jacob, was barren before the birth of Joseph. When we translate Rachel as EWE, we have Joseph born or as born from a sheep, as is also the ram born from the union of Poseidon with the ewe form of Theophany, the ram later being transported to Colchis and sacrificed, its hide becoming the golden fleece. So Poseidon had sexual intercourse with a sheep, or the form of the goddess Theophany, which was a sheep in form, and the ram that was born from that union was later transported to Colchis and sacrificed, and it was the ram from whose hide came the golden fleece. And the golden fleece is a very famous story of myth. The golden fleece was sought by Jason and the Argonauts, his companions, including Hercules, in brackets Heracles. I have to think Agelaus too, because of the A-C-L-E-S. Agelaus is another form of the name Hercules. The eldest son of Geb and Nut is Osiris. Thus Osiris is also the firstborn of Night, or Nut, as Joseph is of Rachel. Osiris, the god of fertility in the Nile Valley of Egypt, is thus Joseph, whose interpretation of Pharaoh's dream, as revealed by Jehovah, led to the appreciation of the 7 years of plenty and famine, and the full benefit of the fertility of the land. So, god of fertility, Osiris is Joseph. Horus, the son of Osiris, who fed the masses with 7 loaves, relates to Joseph with regard to the provision of bread to Egypt. As Ares, the god of war in the Greek pantheon, Horus, compared with the names Ares, Heracles, Halas, and Helios, they're all forms, it looks like, of this same word, Horus. This Horus is similar to Hercules, who relates to, and so there we go, even Hercules or Heracles is similar to Horus in terms of his name and the form it takes, and he relates to Joseph and Poseidon through the tale of the Golden Fleece. And as the son of Osiris, Horus equates to a son of Joseph. You see, Poseidon is Joseph, and his son was the one who went to get, who became the Golden Fleece, and then also Hercules is a son of Joseph who went to get the Golden Fleece. They're all related in the time period too, because they're contemporary, even in the myth. Hercules, in brackets Horus, as a son of Joseph, who is Osiris, in brackets, is potentially Senusret III, the fifth monarch of the 12th dynasty of Egypt. This coincides in time with Joseph being Senusret II. We have an illustration here of Senusret III from the Luxor Museum. Sorry about that. Just a minute. And again, as with many of these statues, the nose is broken off. But we would have to also think that the Hebrews would have been particularly hated by the Egyptians, so that the noses of their statues would be broken off would not be surprising. It would be even more so expected. But of course, the ears, look at the ears of this person here, and we see some interesting ears to compare with that as we go through history. And the son of Helios or Joseph in Greek mythology is Aetes, the son of Helios. And Aetes is the one-time possessor of the golden fleece, which was the hide in myth of a son of Poseidon, meaning, again, son of Joseph. Right, let's see. But, okay, this person, Senusret III, was a very strong and tall man. He fits the description of Hercules very well, and also he's the Egyptian Hercules is what he is. So maybe he is Hercules, because the Hercules of the Greek myth was very often, at least for many of the myths, the Greeks took their mythology from the Egyptians. They just made it their own. But this person who could be Hercules is also Senusret III, the son of Senusret II, who is usually not the same name as his son. Usually they don't share the name with their son in Egypt, so it's just more evidence that they're not Egyptian. In other words, they're Joseph and his son. But Senusret II, and this is not the article where we really talk about this in all the detail. The article Joseph, I think, we'll see that more. But Senusret II, here we have his statue also on the left there. And thus far we have Joseph as Osiris. Listen to our summary so far. Thus far we have Joseph as Osiris, Atum, Amun, Re, Poseidon, Pan. And yeah, because he's fish-like. Like Pan has got elements of a fish. And of course, Pan is a shepherd, and Joseph, you know, was a shepherd. All these things fit Pan, but the fish part doesn't fit Joseph, except that Poseidon has scales like a fish, and so he fits because he's the one who rode in the chariot and was the god of water, right, and horses, and that fits Joseph because of the drought and so on. But and so the connection between Pan and Osiris is the fish idea. But Helios is another person. So we have Joseph as Osiris, Atum, Amun, Re, Poseidon, Pan, Helios, and Senusret II. And as his sons, we have Horus, Heracles, Senusret III, Aetes, and the ram that became the ram skin, known as the Golden Fleece. If the myth seems confused by the number of Joseph's sons, as originating from different manifestations of Joseph himself, we take great solace from the fact that they are all living, at least, at nearly the same time. That's interesting, isn't it? They're all living at the same time in the myth. So, the fact that there are so many different stories about them just means that many different people told their own story about it in the ancient times, and these stories kept becoming elaborated or, you know, well, perhaps they didn't change much, but there were different stories told by different people that were propagated and continued to be told. But he also could have, of course, developed over time these some of these myths. But we take great solace from the fact that all of these characters in the myths were at least at nearly the same time. A contemporary nature in the characters of a myth gives great hope that an history is the ground into which the myth is rooted. It is a miracle that the various stories appear and synchronize this way, and in faith we feel compelled to see it as an expression of a deeper truth. Joseph appears to be the central figure in a grand drama which is worked out in the Greek mythology. Now it may be that all myth is coincident in time, as need be, in order to serve the purpose of a story, but we humbly seek to note any historical significance also. What other gods of the Greek or Roman pantheon served to represent Joseph as the evident subject of their story? What about Apollo? We've got an illustration of Circe offering the cup to Odysseus on the right there. A woman with her breast half covered and her garment supported, draped over one shoulder only, which is sort of the way in which the Amazons were portrayed also, as having that sort of garb. But that's a totally different story about the Amazons of South America. But this is the Greeks, a painting by Waterhouse from 1891. Now, as the god Apollo was the prophetic deity of the Delphic oracle, Joseph was the interpreter of dreams. That fits too, right? They're similar in that way. Apollo was the partner of Poseidon, who was sent with him to build the walls of Troy for King Laomedon. In that case, it would be Joseph being sent with himself to build the walls of Troy. Apollo was the son of Zeus. In that case, we could take Zeus to be Jacob, perhaps, or something like that. But no, he's not the son of Judah, though. Joseph is not the son of Judah, so that would not exactly correspond, but we know there's a lot of confusion in the myth. And the Greek mythology, particularly, is very convoluted. He was the god of light, that is Apollo, and the sun, in both light and the sun, in both Greek and Roman myth. Also the god of colonists and patron defender of herds and flocks. That fits Joseph. Herds and flocks. Joseph was a shepherd before he came to Egypt. Apollo once more looks the counterpart of Joseph, who supervised in settling Israel in Egypt together with their livestock. Remember, yeah, he had to bring them into the land of Goshen in the north of the Delta region of Egypt, help them get settled with Pharaoh's blessing. And the Pharaoh of that time, we believe, is or corresponds to Menemhet II, and he corresponds to that time period very well. That Apollo was a healer and the father of Asclepius the healer makes Apollo contemporary with the father of Heracles, since Heracles and Asclepius were contemporary as Argonauts. So it seems Apollo is indeed contemporary with Joseph. With Joseph as Osiris, the father of Horus, or Heracles, in brackets Ares. So Horus is like the name Ares, Horus and Ares, just with the H added to the beginning. And Heracles also has the H. And it's like Heracles, which is like Horus, in the HR part of the name. So there's a great correspondence between all these people. Apollo, in quotes, if from the Akkadian Aplu, means son of, as, quote, Aplu Enlil, end quote, is, quote, son of Enlil, end quote, which is the title of a god linked to the Babylonian god of the sun. Apollo is tied to Helios in later times as Apollos Helios, in brackets, 3rd century BCE, end bracket. Helios as the sun, with its healing power, thus explains Apollo the healer. And Joseph heals during the famine by utilizing the sun's power as a means of storing up grain during plenty. So the son of Helios, with its healing power, and Joseph, compared to that, is like that in the sense that using the sun's power to generate grain during the 7 years of plenty, he heals the people during the time of famine that came 7 years following the 7 years of plenty. Senyusret III's prenomen Kakauri, compare it with Horus and Aries, because the Auri part at the end of Kakauri, with the cock part just meaning king or lord, right? The Auri at the end with the H-A-U-R-E is the same name as Horus or Aries. So we've got Senyusret III, the son of Joseph, just like Horus is the son of Osiris. It fits perfectly with Joseph as Osiris and Joseph as Senyusret II, and his son being Senyusret III, whose name was Kakauri. So this prenomen, Kakauri, gives how much convincing confirmation of the identity of Horus as that pharaoh, Senyusret III. He's Hercules, also the Egyptian that Hercules, that is, but he's also Horus, who we equate with Hercules anyway, the god of war. The god of war, Ares, the god of war in the... And Mars is the corresponding Roman god of war, Ares and Mars, and the Romans used planets for their names, the planets' names for their gods. So Apollo fights with Heracles for the tripod as a common theme. Now, we know Apollo, we've equated here to Joseph, so, and we've equated Heracles to Ephraim, or Ephraim, the son of Joseph. So this would be Joseph fighting with his son Ephraim for the tripod. But this theme is a common theme of ancient vase paintings, making the two contemporary. They must have lived at the same time. But Zeus is said to be the father of both. That's it for today's study. It's February 8th, 2025 of the Common Era, and the time is 23:46 hours Canadian Eastern Time. February 8th, 2025 of the Common Era. I'm Ward Green. I love you very much, and thank you so much again for listening and watching. In my behalf, this is Sissy, and this is Star saying bye for now. And how many paragraphs was that? I'm going to have to add it up later, I think. We got 8 seconds to figure it out. I don't know what the number was of the one we started on, though. 8, 9.